We're going to be in Hebrews 13, but I've been feeling lately, and I hope it's not, you know, just me, but with the events that are going on in our world, things are rapidly changing. And sometimes the things that we see get pretty discouraging. They sometimes cause us to maybe put our hands up and say, what's the sense? What's the point? But lately with that, I've been, and I'm sure everybody else is too, I've been watching out there when we go shopping and riding around and go to the market and whatnot. I've been seeing what I would consider a vast amount of hopelessness, talking to people, listening to some of the statements that they make. And I think it's not just in our little town, it's everywhere. There's just a ominous feeling that some people have about what's going on, where's it gonna go, what is this leading to? And I would hope that what I'm gonna present today isn't pushing a pastoral point. You know, a lot of pastors, they've got a set thing, in a sense. Some pastors preach about nothing but giving money, and some pastors preach about nothing but rewards, and some pastors preach about, I mean, that's up to them and God. My feeling is that what I have been getting impressed deeply on is the fact that our Lord loves us, as we heard last week, and our Lord is coming back for us. Therefore, we don't think and act, or we shouldn't, as those that have no hope. We've got a blessed hope. Amen. And I want to try to bring that into the two verses that we're studying in Hebrews 13, 8 and 9. But before I go there, I've really got impressed during worship that we just need to read this. So turn this to 2 Peter, if you would, chapter 3. These are things that we all know. And everything that I say here, I would hope as I look out there, most of us have been in God's word long enough that we're going to be talking about doctrines today, so I guess I'll just utilize that word consistently. These are doctrines. These are things that the Lord has spoken since the very first time you and I had our hearts and our ears opened. They haven't changed. And he's coming back for us. And some of the events that we see out there, those events that we wonder why and how, and why would a loving God allow that, you know, our situation over in Israel. And all I can say is that it has to be part of his end plan. It hasn't changed. We read that last week. He had a plan in the very beginning, and he's got a plan at the very end. And what I see in that is the going along with that hopelessness, I see even within the Christian realm, argument, disbelief, misteachings of the soon return of Jesus Christ. Have we lost that? Have we really lost it to where we are looking for his return? Not just saying, oh yeah, I understand that. And yeah, it could be 50 years. It could be tonight. Have we as Christians lost that expectancy of an imminent return of our Lord and Savior, which is not just some Calvary Chapel doctrine. It's not something that John Darby thought up. It's the words of our Lord and Savior that he told us to be ready. He's coming at an hour that we know not. And I feel when we allow ourselves to get burdened and overburdened with the events that are going on here, we miss that deep feeling we should have of the one most important event that's going to happen in mankind, and that's the return of our Lord and Savior, that we would be with him forever. So I ask us to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And this epistle was written to the beloved, to the Christians, and I, with everything that was going on in their lives at that time, they probably were disheartened, wondering what was going on. What about all these promises that are going on? Maybe it's not true. Maybe the rapture isn't really something for our time. That's a statement that goes along with, well, maybe it's 50 years. What if it's 50 years? Praise God. Then all of us, well, not all of us. I don't have 50. I sure hope I don't have 50 left to begin with. If it's not 50 years, and it could be today or tomorrow, am I ready for that return that I say I believe in my heart? He's coming back. But am I ready for him? Do I understand that he's saying I can come back today? Now, he could come back for us physically because, you know, as human beings, we pass. We pass for various reasons. Out there, you slip on the ice, and that could be your last day. Diseases that have plagued our generation. I mean, we could go into the presence of the Lord at any moment. But we can also go into the presence of our Lord because of him coming back for us. And I wonder, do I understand the importance of that in my own life, the life of my family, my children, my children's children, those people that I don't know out there that would look at me and they've looked at you like we've lost our mind thinking that, oh yeah, God is going to just miraculously come back and poof, people are going to disappear and we'll be in eternity forever and then there'll be a time on this world like you've never seen. I mean, it sounds like science fiction, doesn't it? But it's not. It's our God leaving us a love letter so that we're not caught off guard. He says, I don't do anything that I don't tell my servants, my friends. And he's told us those things. So here in 3, and like I said, I pray it's not me. I pray it's the Holy Spirit's prompting during worship that I was supposed to just go to this. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Remembrance. Something that, I don't know, my senior moments are starting to become episodes now. I feel like I'm losing track of more and more things that it should be so simple. Remembrance. And we do it with our children. How many times have I told you? How many times have you told your child to clean their room? Did you ever think of that? Over the course of growth, you guys still have, you know, start adding it up. I've got 50-year-old kids. Some of us have older. How many times have I said something? I think the human mind needs remembering. It needs remember. Where's my car keys? And they're generally in my hand when I'm yelling at Pat because we're late. Where's the keys? Where's my wallet? You know, and I do the Macarena to find out. Where's my stuff? Have I forgotten, though, the fact that my Lord said, I'm coming back for you, Doug. I'm coming back for you, Neen. Coming back for you. Or do we maybe just don't care that much because of everything that's going on around us that we're inundated by the news, by papers, by other people's conversations. So here we are getting our minds stirred up. Get it going again. Get it agitated. Stir it up. Make sure that we understand what's happening. That you might be mindful of the words, God's words, which was spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first. So here's what I've been hearing this more and more from everybody I talk. It's almost like the rapture becomes a mindless joke within Christianity. And it's not. I think it's a truth that goes well beyond pre, mid, post, pan theory. Ted used to, well, everything will pan out, right? Yes, it will pan out. We're all going to stand before our Lord and Savior and give an account of what we've done in our lives. And he's coming back for us. And it's going to be a glorious day. It's not a scary day. Am I looking for that, though? So here, we should be mindful. Don't forget. Don't let everything that we do on a daily basis in this world, how many times have you left the house? Maria, I'll use you. Well, she did it like she was feeling really, you know, she's the only one. She picked up a bag, filled it with stuff that had to come to church last week. She put it right by the front door where they walk out. And when she came into my office, she left the bag at her front door instead of in your hand. We all do this. We all do it. I'm so thankful that I pastor a church that's only a mile and a half maybe from my house, because I get here and I forget my briefcase. I forget the stuff I'm bringing. Please, as of today, with all that, let's not forget our Lord and Savior and the words that he spoke to us. And he wants us to be mindful of them over everything else that we're mindful about right now. Finances, health, the world, our friends. We should be mindful about him coming back. And everyone that I know, my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren, at least have an opportunity to hear the fact that Jesus Christ loves them. Jesus Christ is coming back. Those are the two things that are in the study we've been doing in Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? It means in the very beginning, he loved us so much. When he created everything, he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loves us that much that he wants to be with us for eternity. And that's the second part of him being the same yesterday, today, and forever, that forever he's coming back for his church. Are you in that body of Christ? Are those that we say we love, are they in the body of Christ? Now, we can't force them. That there's the old joke about, you know, thump your Bible thumper, hitting in there. I wish it was that easy. I've said that because I would run through this town with my Bible just whacking people. Bang, and then you're saved. It's not that easy. It's a personal decision to see what's going on, to walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And God's saying, I love you so much, and I'm coming back for you. We have a hard time with that love that maybe I went over the edge today. Maybe yesterday those things I did would affect God's love for me. Gee, I'm my own worst enemy when I don't do what I feel I know I should do, and I even see that God has asked me to do it and I don't do it. I beat myself for days. That's got to stop. We've got to understand that God loves us. Loves us, and he didn't give Jesus Christ 2,000 plus years ago so that I could think that I know more than God. He can't love me through this. It's grace. It's his grace that got us saved, and it's his grace that's going to take us home, and I feel right soon. So let's get back to Peter. Knowing this first what? Knowing this first, maybe before everything else I think I know. That there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, verse 3, saying, where is the promise of his coming? You ever hear that from anybody? It might not be in those exact words, but you really believe that? When I was in this world as a heathen and a child of the Woodstock generation, I wouldn't have believed this stuff even then. It's too far out. But now I sit here and I look and saying, where is the promise of his coming? It's between page 1 and the very last page of your Bible. It's all in there. He's coming back. He's going to be coming back at two separate occasions, if you would. One event, his second coming. But there's an event called the parousia. And that's just before he comes back and touches down on planet Earth. He's going to come in the clouds, if I ever get to it, to meet us in the air. That's the parousia. He's coming back for us. It's not going to be, oh, well, I might just die and lay in the ground for all these years. He's coming back for his church. And we've got to, I think we've got to stand on this and start speaking it more and more, especially to ourselves. Because the people out there and people in our own families, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Has it? Verse 5 says, for this they're willingly ignorant of that day. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. We've got these days of Noah. And just as those days in Noah, you know, the word of God again says that during those days they were doing what? Marrying, eating, drinking, didn't have a clue to what was going on behind the scenes, in a sense, until the Lord came and took them away. It's not the same. But the heavens and the earth, verse 7, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There will be a day of judgment. But beloved, that's us, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day. The Lord is not slack. Well, where's his coming? Is it, you know, that's where it could be 50 years. It's so common of a statement, but what we're being told by the Holy Spirit, that the Lord isn't slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, towards each one of us that are not yet in the body of Christ, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Wow, what a loving God. What a loving God. He wants every, this isn't an elite little group of people, or we're not so special to God that he can't do without us. God wants every person within his creation. It's hard to get our minds wrapped around. He wants them saved. Will that happen? No. No, we know that from the word of God. But he's doing that because he wants everyone to be saved. He's not slack in verse 9. Concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. It is going to come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall be passed. And so, again, we need to look. There's two sections in here. There is a second coming that God is going to allow a lot of the world to see, and believers are not. And that's something that we should hold very dear. But this day is going to come, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein will be burned up. So these are things that God is telling us is going to happen. In verse 11, he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be, Doug? In all holy kind, I do that because I've got that in my Bible here. Some people say, you know, well, maybe that's not for me. Maybe he's speaking to another group of people. I think if we take this personally, as we have to take salvation, it changes things. What kind of person should I be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for, now here's the thing, looking for, verse 12, and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire will be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, those in the body of Christ, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, now, again, I have to, are we looking for them, or are we letting the world events that are out these doors right now, are they allowing us to put this off to the side? Because this is the first and foremost thing that I feel that, at least me in this position, it's not easy to come up as a pastor and every Sunday just throw out stuff that means something to everybody. It takes work. Anybody that's ever done a sermon will say, yeah, it needs to be God. It doesn't need to be my opinion of anything. But this, I feel, is something for every single one of us. We need this in our heart to keep going in the days that are going to come on most of us. Am I looking for, as 12 says, am I looking for and hastening the coming, saying, come back, Lord. Nevertheless, 13, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's the one that really gets to us sometimes. We think, I blew it. I can't do that. I can never reach that. There's no such thing as sinless perfection. All God is asking is that we understand that his grace is enough. It's sufficient to get us through each day. No matter how bad we, and this isn't a license to mess up today. Oh boy, God, you know, he's a forgiving God. He'll forgive everything that we do. Everything. If we are truly have given our hearts to him, he wants us to be with him for eternity. And those things, I think that we make mistakes. I don't look at it as failure. If you're in Christ, you're not a failure. There's faults in our life. There's missteps that we do, but God doesn't hold them against us. What he's asking us to do is, what manner of person, Doug, you see it, I see you, I'll take care of this, my grace has got you covered, let's keep going, I'm coming back. Do I have time to speak the word of God and how much he loves to people? Do I have that kind of time to even say it to my own great-grandchildren? Well, they're 9 and they're 8 and they're 2 6-year-olds, 7 almost. But maybe they won't understand yet. Let's talk to them. You got your kids. Talk to them. You've got children. We need to tell them. He's coming back. Account that the long-suffering 15 of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to wisdom given unto him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which some things are hard to be understood. A lot of us don't understand the rapture. We don't understand the theories behind or the doctrine behind pre, mid, post, pan, pre-wrath. Why is that? Because it takes effort to get in here and find out, what do you believe? Don't believe this because I believe it. Calvary Chapel is founded on a pre-tribulation rapture. We believe that the Lord can come at any point in time, but why do you believe that? And if somebody asks you, why do you believe that? Why are you so insistent that God loves me, number one, and he's coming back? You and I can go to the pages of this book and just at least lay that out. Everyone is entitled to believe the way that they want, to think the way that they want. But I feel that if we can give them just maybe one more opinion and they would get into this book and see this could be so, it might have the same result that it had in your life. I don't know about you, 44 years ago, like I said, I got saved because I knew I was a mess. And there was only one way out or another, which I won't even get into right now. I didn't believe all this at first, but I thought, this is glorious stuff. If this is true, I don't want to miss this. And the only way we're going to do it is get into the Word, just like Peter's saying. Paul said this stuff. This isn't something new. Paul said this stuff, and some of it's hard to understand because you've got to comb the Scriptures. You've got to study the Scriptures. You've got to look at it. Or, like what I just did for the elders, is you buy a book, which I usually don't recommend, but there's a book written by David Jeremiah on this exact subject that makes it so simple to understand that you have to have somebody help you misunderstanding. That's what the word is saying, you know? Hi, I'm Doug Gibney. No, you're not. Oh, I live over on the ranch. No, you don't. I mean, that's what people do. We've got to know this word. We've got to get into it, but then give it away. Don't hold it to us. So know what you believe today. Know what those differences are when people talk about mid, post, and pre. Know what that is by God's word, not by what I say or by opinions. They're hard things that the unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also with other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. I'm watching Christians that used to be so intent on the doctrine of the rapture that one day I've seen them just lose it. Why? Because he's taking time? Because it hasn't happened in our time frame? What did the word just tell us? He's waiting for just one more person to say yes to his offer of salvation. So don't be led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's a mouthful, but I'd encourage us, as much as I've asked way back, I mean, some are still doing it. Hey, let's read the Psalms. Remember that about a year ago? Let's start in the Psalms, and today is the first. Let's read Psalm 1, and we'll go through that, and then we'll just keep going through it. We've got to get this word into us before that time does come. What happened?
1 Thessalonians 4:13.
Well, I've got that. I'm gonna. Once I get done with what God wanted me to say, I hope, because this wasn't part of the program. This was free, so now we'll start church. I don't know what God's got in that for you. That's just part of it. But the rapture is on numerous pages of your Bible. You've got the same Bible, in a sense, as everyone else does. It might be a different translation. It's in the Old Testament. You'll find that concept. It's in the New Testament, consistently, in the book of John, in the book of Corinthians, book of Thessalonians, as Diane just said, book of Revelation. It's in all of them. Now, am I going to take the time to look at that and see if it's so? Am I just going to put it off for now because I think it could be detrimental? I don't know what time it is. I've not bought a battery. But let's go to Hebrews. And maybe I'll just shorten this one. 13. Thank you. It's already 12? Let's roll. We read last week in verses 8. Today was going to be verse 9. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've got to use that verse as a springboard of our knowledge of Jesus Christ and who he is. Before you have to really trust somebody. And when you trust somebody, how do you do that? You know them, don't you? Just over time, somebody has kept true to their word. We've got to know that Jesus Christ, as we said, is our Lord and Savior. But Jesus Christ is also God. Well, you know, here's that theory that we were talking about, the Trinity. Well, Doug, the Trinity is not in the Bible, that word. No, it's not. But its concept is in there. And the rapture is not spoken in the word rapture, but it is in there in its concept in the scriptures that would prove it. And that's why we need to get into this word. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be watching when you read through here how God sets things in threes. This is not numerology, but he's the same yesterday, today, forever. In my salvation, I'm saved. I'm being saved. I'm going to be saved. God loves me enough that he didn't leave me where he found me, and he's coming back to take me home. I mean, everything that he says and does comes in these little groups of threes, it seems like. And I feel he wants to give it to us very easily so we can remember as we started today. And I'm feeling more and more lately like the guys in the garden There were three wake-up calls, weren't there? He shook them twice. And then on the third one, he said, let's go. They're here. And I pray that none of us would wake up at that point when he's here or he's come. We have opportunity now to regain some lost time. Let's give it a try. This is a God who loves us. This is a triune God. This is a God of the Trinity. I am not going to go into that right now, but I'd ask you, please look into scriptures like Matthew 3, Matthew 28. The Trinity is mentioned. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You look in, what's the Great Commission? Go and preach the gospel. That's what we're being told. How much more time do we have to preach it? I don't know. But do what? Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Again, the Trinity is the main part of the end game, which is the rapture of his church, which is coming. In a time of great tribulation that will follow that rapture, that I pray nobody that God has put in my path didn't have an opportunity to hear what God wants to say to them. So Diane had brought up Thessalonians, which I wanted to try to step it out, because in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says that the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, the last days, men will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. I feel that we're in that time frame, and that doctrine is that one of Jesus isn't coming back. It just doesn't matter. And we're just like we were in those days of Noah, like I said, marrying, drinking, eating. No cares. It'll all work out. And quickly the Lord is going to return. So I'm thinking for maybe the next couple of weeks, and Seth, that's going to involve you also, that maybe we should start taking a serious look into those scriptures that talk about the imminent return of our Lord and Savior. That we would know them, that we would have an opportunity to really believe them. I think it's Warren Wiersbe made a statement. No, it was F.F. Bruce said. Warren Wiersbe said a real cool thing on the Trinity. I'll just throw that one in. I read that a couple of weeks ago. There's a new math out there in our schools. You know, they give you all these numbers and they equal something that you and I were never taught. But Wiersbe said, as far as the Trinity goes, it's new math. One plus one plus one equals one. And I mean, it's not a joke or it's not funny, but I mean, there is truth in that that is unbelievable. We need to know that part of it, but we also need to know that he is coming back. Let's go to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. And this is where we might pick up next week. Because what we had in Hebrews that I never got to, it's almost like God is saying, I don't want you to say, this is stuff you talked about to yourself this week, Doug. I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to some of my children, is what I'm feeling. And I think that we have to reconcile this section within our own hearts. Because it is the difference between the parousia, as we said before, and the second coming. There's something in here that I would really hope and pray each one of us would get a full understanding from our Lord. So 1 Thessalonians. No, what did I say? 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2. Okay. Father God, I don't know exactly what is going on right now in my heart and mind. I'm trying to hear what it is that you would say. I want to hear what the Spirit has to say. So, Father God, just take the confusion. If I brought more into the hearts of your children today and my own, please, Lord, just clear that cloud away. Let us hear that you love us. Let us hear that you are returning for us. Let us believe these words of yours, Father, more than the cries of the world out there. In Jesus' name. I know what I'm looking for, but it's 1 Thessalonians, and I'm in 2. Second Thessalonians 4, verse 11, and this will be our springboard maybe for next week. And the Holy Spirit says that you study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you, that you might walk honestly towards them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow, not even as others which have no hope. Asleep is another word for death. These people were worried that their loved ones weren't going to get raptured when Paul was talking about them. What's going to happen to them? Verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or dead in Jesus will God bring with him. We have a mention of two right there for this Trinity. And he'll do that by the power of his Spirit. Verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede, that word is, them which are asleep. Those of us who are alive. This is that theory that the world thinks we're losing our mind, that we think 1 minute we could be right here talking, and the next minute, poof, you're in the presence of an almighty God. That seems foolishness to the natural man. It can't be understood. It has to be spiritually discerned. I have to believe this. When the Holy Spirit says, those of us that are alive and remain, now not just that one verse unto the coming of the Lord, he's putting that there that we won't precede our loved ones that have passed already. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. There's those threes again. Do you see that in there? I'm hoping I'm not losing anybody, but I sit in a chair, and if, like I said, so many, if you even heard what goes on in my attic sometimes, you probably wouldn't sit here today. These are the things that God has been making jump out at me lately. What are you trying to say? And what he's trying to say is, I love you more than you love yourself, and I'm coming back for you real soon. Are you ready? But there he is. The Lord's going to come with a shout. And I think that shout, do you remember the shout when he went up to Lazarus? He yelled out, Lazarus, come forth. And the commentators will say he said Lazarus' name because if he didn't, the graves of the world would have emptied out and everyone would have came. I think what's going to happen here is the Lord is going to give a shout. It's going to be our name possibly that we'll hear, each one individually, or he's going to just say, come forth on that day, and we're going to be in his presence. We got to listen. So the Lord is going to give the first of those three, but the voice of the archangel, that's Michael. He's a warrior angel. Why does Michael have to back up what the Lord's saying? Remember in Daniel? Oh, Daniel, you man of faith. You were heard the first day you started praying, but it took 21 days for the hierarchy of heaven to bust through the spiritual warfare that's going to get to him. And Michael the archangel is a warrior angel. He's not some, you know, angel like we see on Christmas cards or anything else. We're talking about we'd probably drop dead if we saw Michael in his glory. Michael's going to shout, and I think he's going to shout because he's going to shout the war cry to just let's get going and go get him, and he's going to bust through with the Lord to take his children home. And the trump, voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and this is not the trumpets. That's where people, those aren't the trumpets in Revelation. You know, it's those trumpets that your timing is wrong. No, this is different. This is the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first in verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's where rapture is. Harpazo, caught up. Latin, rapturus, snatched. It's a violent snatching away, being pulled out. Why does it have to be that? Because you and I, when we leave here, Satan and his minions is going to try to do everything that he can to hold us into this second heaven atmosphere before we blow through there. It's going to be a battle. But those of us who are alive and remain, we have to reconcile this in our minds in verse 17, and that's going to be our assignment this week. Alive and remain, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, not on the earth. Remember where it says he's going to touch down when everybody sees him, the mount's going to be split. That's a second coming. This is a parousia, and this could happen to at any minute to any one of us in here if we're in the body of Christ. Boom. Left Behind. I hated that series when it came out. It was like, are you kidding? But you know, the truth of it is that maybe somebody I know is going to be left behind because somebody didn't take the time to understand this. Somebody didn't take time to explain it to them, to sit with them, and help them to make a life decision that's going to go to eternity. I'm alive, and I'm here. But all of a sudden, God is going to catch me up. He's going to rapture me with all those that went before me. And you know who I'm talking about. Not just my daughter, my brother, my mother, loved ones. People that went before us, Bill, I can name names all through here. We're going to be together in the air. If that doesn't excite you or break you down to just a basket of nothing, what's going to move us? We're alive. We're going to be talking to somebody at B&F. I'm going to be getting ready to pay my bill maybe, you know, and the poor guy's going to be looking and saying, where did the guy go? Left all his food here. I mean, it seems foolish, but I think we're so close. We're on the precipice for this. Look at the world events. It can't keep going the way it is. Chuck Smith used to say, you know, and jokingly, but it's not, if God doesn't come back today, he's missing a perfect opportunity. You know, and he used to say that for years and years on end. At every one of his yearly wrap-ups, he'd always say, well, this happened, but I do know one thing that could happen is God's going to come back. And pastors at those conferences used to lean over and say, he's been saying this since 1970. Well, praise God that that man put into our hearts that this is a blessed hope for those that believe in Jesus Christ. He loves us. He's coming back to this. This is not doom and gloom. I'm going to walk with Dee. You're going to walk with your dad. You're going to walk with the loved ones you've left. You know, phew. Get this into our hearts because we're going to be caught up in the clouds. There's that rapture to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I think 18 is something that, wherefore comfort, exhort is what that word is in some of yours. One another with these words. These words. So what was that to do with verses 8 and 9? He's the same. And he was telling us that don't be carried about with strange and diverse doctrines. It's better that the heart be established with grace, in God's grace. than with meats and things that the early Jews were trying to do to these Christians to tell them that you need the rituals, you need the dietary laws, you need the Levitical dietary laws in order to be favored by God. No, you don't. You just have to believe John 3:16 is what I'm feeling today. If you haven't done it, I'm begging you, I'm asking you, please, just stop sometime today. Ask the Lord, could this be true? And if it's true, here's my heart. Here I am. So, Father God, your word won't return void. That's a promise, and I am so thankful for that one, because I'm not sure where we've gone, Lord. But I know where we're going. And I just ask that there be no one in this room beyond that hearing of your voice, not mine, that you love us. And behold, I come quickly. Amen. 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 Amen.